nice when that happens. I was going to call, you remember Donna Martin?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
that's
still
Welcome to Mountain View. I'm Judy Lavach, and I'd like to highlight some of the events coming up in the life of our church. First, today, this is a party day for our wonderful 90-plus years of age members of this church. Please join us after the service for a birthday party honoring the members, and celebrate with an annual luncheon today after church. We have some very special nonagenarians in our congregation, so don't miss this fun party. Also, don't forget about our missions team is collecting gently used or new clothing. I believe this is the last week to donate for that. And this clothing will go to the Four Corners Native American Ministry collection. So it's time to clean out your closets for a good cause, and you can look in the bulletin this morning for more information about that. The last item I want to highlight is the Morning Sacred Walk, which is going on every Wednesday at 7:30 a.m. And right out here to the north of our church at the Labyrinth. Pastor Sarah is conducting this walk, and it's about 10 to 15 minutes at the Labyrinth, and then you go and walk on a nearby trail or neighborhood for 45 minutes. Sarah plans to do this through August 29th, so it's a good time to have fellowship and exercise. Now, would you please stand as you are able and greet each other?
Peace be with you, sir.
Thank you.
Peace be with you, Steve.
Peace be with you, man. Sunday, and he says, boy, you guys don't mess around on this piece.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Please sing after I sing. Rejoice, 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 give thanks and sing. Rejoice, 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 give thanks and sing. We come here today to worship the Lord, give thanks for the lives we live. We sing your praises, God Most High, and bring honor to your name. Rejoice, 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 give thanks and sing. Creator God, you made our world and gave us the breath of life. We are your people, holy Lord, we serve you forevermore. Rejoice, 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 give thanks and sing.
Good morning, Mountain View. I am so delighted to welcome all of those who are 90 years plus. We have 32 on the roster who are 90 years or older. We have a number of them here today. You are an important part of this congregation, as you have been for years and years, and we're glad we can celebrate you. Do we have anybody who's here for the very first time? We have a small gift for you, which is a bag of popcorn. Thanks for popping in. I'm glad that you're all here. Blessings to you. All right, would you join me for our collect? Shall we pray together? Gather us in, Lord God. Gather us in from our multiple conversations, our worries, and our cares. Gather us in, that into our hearts we would receive blessed assurance, that the desires of our hearts might be in harmony with your desires for us and for our world. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please rise for our opening hymn, I Know Whom I Have Believed.
Thank you.
You may be seated, and I'll invite the kids to come join me. I've got a special question for you today. Hello, everyone. We are celebrating some birthdays of some older folks today, but does anyone have a birthday? Do any of you have a birthday coming up? Yeah.
My birthday passed.
It passed. Mine did too, back in January. But
in June.
Okay, so yours was a little bit closer. Well, so I was curious, if you could have anything you wanted, what would it be? Yeah, Walker.
World peace,
okay. What else? What else would you really want? Being a princess. I like that idea. I really want to be a princess. Any other things that you would really want? Yeah.
A new phone.
A new phone. Does it? Would it have any specific gadgets or apps or?
The iPhone X, I guess, with extra storage.
Extra storage, okay. Extra memory for games and pictures and things like that. Cool. Well, if you were to think about your grandparents or some older folks in your life, what do you think they would really, really want? Do you think they'd want a phone like yours?
My grandma already has an iPhone 7.
So she's set.
iPhone 6, so.
Okay, these people know what they're doing. Okay, what do you think your grandparents would really, really want? Any ideas?
Grandchildren,
okay, that's good.
What's a mouse for his computer?
A mouse for your computer? The simple things of life, right? Good. Well, there are, we call these wants, sometimes desires. And sometimes our desires when we're young are different than our desires when we're old. But there's something about how God asks us, or God knows our desires and continues to mold them, kind of like clay, kind of like it was a sculpture. And so, world peace might be something that he continues to mold into bigger and fuller wants when you're even older, and being a princess might mold into something, and a new phone might mold into something, or it could be exactly what you need in order to make God happy in the world. So the desires that are on our heart, I think, are good things. And it's important that we ask God to be a part of those desires so that as we grow up, we use those desires for good things, okay? So I know that Larissa has some projects over there, but if you run out of things to do, I want you to draw a desire that you have, okay? If it's a phone, that might be easy. If it's world peace, that might be hard to draw. But give it your best shot, okay? That is your project. Yeah, so I want you to draw your desire, and later on, I'm gonna ask you another question about those desires, okay? So let's pray right now. Will you pray with me? Dear God, thank you for our desires and how they excite us. Help us know how to use them so that you smile. We love you, God. Thanks for loving us. Amen. All right, thanks, guys. You can head back to the playground.
As a congregation, our desires are also molded through time. We have a piece of recognition as we begin. I want to have Bill Good come forward. Bill is our lay leader, elected to be the president of our congregation. And today I have the honor of sharing with you from the Conference Board of Global Ministries a certificate of appreciation to the congregation. This congregation has for many years had a covenant relationship with our missionary Mozart Adivu.
And we are honored by the Conference Board of Global Ministries to be recognized in that capacity. And so on behalf of the church, thank you, Bill, for being such a great congregation. They always give us these certificates that are suitable for framing, and we'll try and put that where you can find it. It is a high watermark for Mountain View to be a part of missions and ministry together. We have joys and concerns to share with you as we begin. We've learned this morning that Dale Mattson has had a stroke on Friday. He's had a stroke, and he is at Good Sam's Hospital. And so prayers for Dale and Joanne Mattson. Charisse Moratelli, a new member of the church, whose child and herself, her children and herself, were baptized in the spring. Her father has died unexpectedly, so prayers for Charisse. Sandy Smith asked for prayers for her grandson, Kirk, who's been diagnosed with colon cancer. And brother, son-in-law, thank you. That was communicated incorrectly to me. But prayers for Kirk. Prayers for Kirk. Continued prayers for Jean Barker. She has health concerns, but Warren is here today to celebrate. And to Alan, thanks for bringing him today. We're having a great big party today. It's going to be wonderful. And I'm pleased to note, to share with you that Donnie Hagee is working. He has a job, and that's a great relief and encouragement to him. So prayers to for Donnie's well-being. Are there other joys or concerns that you'd like to share this morning? The young people being rescued from the cave in Thailand. Steve Burchard, yes.
One of our choir members, Jenny Lavosh, has had some real difficulties with vocal problems, and she's gone and seen an ENT doctor on that, and he's given her 4 to 6 weeks of rest. As you know, any singer has a hard time with one day of rest, and we ask that you prayers for Jenny.
Thank you. Yes.
This week, my mother is packing up her life in Florida and moving out to Tacoma.
This week, her mother is packing up her life in Florida and moving to Westminster. Those grandkids are a big pull, I can tell you. I can tell you. Ours have visited this weekend, and I'm just about cloud high, really. I'm just like, yeah. Prayers of joy or concern? Marion celebrates 80 years young soon, right? Well, because we're celebrating 90 years old and you're making progress.
So I feel blessed to be a member, or having been a member of this church for many, many years, coming from Europe and moving into Boulder and really finding this as a home. All those people, friends, who have helped my life become better, please come and join me, us, my children, my family, and neighbors. Under the German oak tree of Mountain View, at my house on Meadow Brook, come through the back door. There will not be gifts, no cards, but just friends and thank yous.
Gifts or cards are not needed. What's the day?
Oh, date. Depending on weather, we're planning next Sunday.
All right. 5 o'clock
when the sun is not so high.
5 o'clock next Sunday to celebrate your great,
anyone,
great day.
I'll have some
anybody.
Questions.
Ausgezeichnet. Yes.
I was serenaded by a bunch of bullfrogs this morning.
Serenaded by bullfrogs. Was Jeremiah one of the bullfrogs?
Jeremiah.
He was a good friend of mine. Yeah. Others? Yes.
On Friday, my brother passed an important check ride to become a certified flight instructor.
Certified flight instructor. Her brother passed that milestone. Congratulations to him. Wonderful week, wonderful week. Our grandchildren are visiting. Yeah.
Scott Johnson says, we were in the mountains the other day in Golden Gate State Park and going fishing, got to the lake, and as soon as we got there, this bald eagle came right down and swooped, got a fish, gobbled it down, and we never saw him again.
that we're being the right place at the right time. A bald eagle, our nation's symbol, dove right down and caught fish. He was probably giving you a lesson. That's what he'd be doing to me, is teaching me how to fish. Others. Yeah, Jim.
One of our pastors has been wrestling his demons for a while and temporarily lost the battle and has had to give up his pastorate, and I pray that his congregation would support him and his family as he recovers.
Prayers from one of our colleagues in ministry who is struggling. Thank you. Others. Last week we had you all collect hugs, remember? Because touch is powerful and it's meaningful in our ministry. So if you would hold hands with somebody nearby, be connected, that we might pray together. As a community, Lord, we come to worship, to sing your praises, to open our hearts in prayer, to be known and to know, to hear other people's concerns can put our lives in perspective. For there are those who struggle with demons, difficulties, life and death situations, which cause us to pray. We ask your blessing upon them this morning. We seek your blessing for ourselves as well, God, as we, your children, have our heart's desires, sometimes high and wonderful, sometimes low and difficult. We can be crushed under the weight of our disappointments. But let our heart's desires continue to beat. Let your strength in us continue to be known. Let your love in our hearts continue to be expressed. And may we, your people, continue to praise you in all of our circumstances and situations, even as we pray the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Forward to receive our tithes and our offerings. We have a new way of giving by text if that's up your alley, and we welcome those gifts also. So give as you can for the 90-year-olds who continue to need this ministry, for the 9-year-olds who continue to learn about their faith in God, and everybody in between.
Thank you. Sometimes I feel discouraged and think my work's in vain. But then the Holy Spirit revives my soul again. There is a balm in Gilead to make the wounded whole. There is a balm in Gilead to heal the sin-sick soul.
If you cannot preach like Peter, if you cannot pray like Paul, just
tell the love of Jesus and say he died for all. There is a ball in Gilead to heal the sin-sick soul, to heal the sin-sick
this morning we lift our hearts, our souls, our troubles, and our blessings to you. We ask that you bless us so we continue to be a blessing to others and give thanks to those who have led the way. We thank you, Lord, for those women and men of faith who 90 years plus have strengthened this community and loved us right to now. And you love us to the end and beyond, Lord, and so we lift up our hearts to you. Thank you, God, for young ones and old ones, seasoned ones and new ones, ones full of grace, ones like us seeking grace this morning. Through Jesus Christ, we pray. Be with us this morning and all mornings. Amen. You may be seated.
Please join me in the scriptural meditation. May the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Our first scripture today is from Psalm 37, verses 4 through 7 from the New Revised Standard Version. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will act. He will make your vindications shine like the light, and the justice of your cause like the noonday. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret over those who prosper in their way, over those who carry out evil devices. And from chapter 20, verse 4, from the Christian Standard Bible, may he give you what your heart desires and fulfill your whole purpose. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Charles. Thank you, Sarah. Thank you, Susan and Linda, for your music. There's a desire. Last week, Lydia and I went to the park, as we normally do on these nice summer evenings, and we met James and his little brother. They were energetic little boys running all over the place and were grateful to climb around in the shade that night. They were also attracted by what they might discover and do with a new playmate. So they raced up the same slide as Lydia was at, asked her name, and then zoomed back down again. Lydia is a woman of few words right now, and fascinated with boys in some new way. So she was speechless, a little bit just staring at them. But eventually she came to herself and started chattering with all the incomprehensible sentences that she loves to offer. As the connector translator, I tried to ask James what Lydia might have been saying. What's your favorite color? How old are you? Do you like your bike? Our simple exchange immediately turned to his birthday. He would be 6 in less than a month. I want a green scooter that goes in the water, he said. He started to tell me how it worked and how his green spiked helmet would match the scooter, and it sounded better than the hoverboard from Back to the Future. He was so excited. I can't wait. And I was excited for him. Such enthusiasm, such unwavering commitment. And not that we have to earn our birthday treats, but this sweet kid who watched out for the baby and made sure Lydia didn't bounce off the swinging bridge as he raced across it seemed to deserve such a special, unlonged-for toy. A simple, pure, hoped-for desire seemed just right for him. Today we celebrate friends who have enjoyed their 6th and 36th and 86th birthdays and in between. And after experiencing James' excitement, I was curious about what our young at heart folks would really want. What would make them come alive? If they had that one big want. Annie caught it right off the bat, having grandkids. Family is the answer most of the time that I heard. Some people even went as far to say, I want to go to my family reunion in Minnesota. These things draw us near to God. Because I believe that desires are a gift of being human. At any age, we can know, claim, and yearn for them. So when the psalmist assures us that God will give us the desires of our heart, we can rest in that promise that somehow our desires and the experience of both yearning and experiencing the fulfillment have sacred meaning to who we are in God's eyes. And as much assurance as we can claim, I think it's important to also recognize what a desire of the heart actually is. In many ways, I can't help but simply see them as part of the creative spark of the divine, embedded within each of us as the imago Dei, the image of God within. But I have a confession. Not all of my desires seem so illuminescent or virtuous. Sometimes my desires have a grass is always greener quality to them. You know what I mean? Here's the big confession. I watch HGTV at the gym. Anyone else? That's the Home and Garden Network. And I always tell myself, you're gonna watch this show and, you know, find little tidbits, little good ideas that can help you fix up your own home, or just watch creativity at hand. But, that inevitably changes. My heart begins to covet a stranger's stainless steel appliance and new master bathroom in such a way that all of a sudden these magical makeovers crank up my desires to have something that I never even dreamed I wanted, much, much more than a longing of something that I didn't need and wasn't mine to have. And these longings change my attitude from, oh, that's really neat, to, I want it. And I resent you for having it. And I am just simply discontent. Did you know TV was still that powerful? I'm amazed. But you know, God knew that our desires needed refining. He knew that there were times when we would see something that we would want in such a way. One of the Ten Commandments says, do not covet your neighbor's stuff. It's in the commandments. It's powerful. God knew that our yearnings could and would overwhelm us inside and potentially even ruin our relationships. Apostle Paul talks about how such yearnings are the desires of the flesh. That phrase kind of rings familiar, right? The desires of the flesh. In multiple letters to the Corinthians, to the Romans, and throughout the New Testament, he references behaviors specifically of the body that can lead us away from loving God and loving our neighbor. Coveting, lying, cheating on someone, adultery, these type of things. Now, the word sart, which is translated from Greek into the English word flesh, could more accurately be translated as false self, the desires of our false self. The false self includes ego, pride, and the social and mental construct of who we think we are. It's the way we present ourselves, either in our car or our job, the degrees that we put up on the wall, or even our kids can be a representation of who we think we are. As Richard Rohr, a Catholic priest and contemplative, says, our false self is our container, largely defined in distinction from others. In other words, our false self is that which is created by comparing ourselves to another. Now, the false self is an important starting place. Lydia, who is just 2, needs to be able to recognize that she is different than her mom and than her dad, that she is an individual and unique, though apparently all of the watermelon is hers. But if we live like this, with this false self bolstering and protecting it all the while, especially into adulthood, we promote a bogus, not a bad, but a bogus, impermanent survival self instead of a sacred self. And when we're found in the light of criticism or conviction or failure, the false self can and will break. The true self rises again in the face of these obstacles with a renewed, animated force, because the true self upholds growth and change like a new wineskin that can hold wine. Our desires then can be part of our identity as we grow, and with maturity and awareness take on a more accurate, divine, and purpose-filled quality. Let me tell you, I do not want to scowl at white, clean white cabinets and granite countertops the rest of my life, right? I want my desires to be deeper, to be richer, more life-giving than that. And thus, the psalm realigns the what of my desires to the how. When you delight in the Lord, God will give you the desires of your heart. When you delight. This delighting attitude and behavior holds power and transformation. It's like loving with whimsy and richness and definitely an unbounded quality. To delight also seems to take on the character of another. Think about someone that you delight in right now. It could be a small person whose curiosity and spunk helps you see the world in a different way. Perhaps it's a mentor who has raised the bar to expectations you could meet but never knew you had in you. Maybe it's your partner. I think this is so beautifully expressed, this delight in new relationships, in new couples. There's something that happens between two people when they come together and say, I want what you want. My dreams are now a part of a package. You have virtues of the heart that I want to adopt too. And these qualities of a new relationship create a beautiful foundation that can last through marriages and lifelong partnerships. So if this is true of our personal relationships, similar expressions take place with God. As we delight in God, we take on God's character, God's qualities of generosity, gratitude, joy, creativity, courage, and awe in the simplicity. Through delighting, we are changed, refined, and made more fully ourselves by illuminating the true sacred self. And all that can and will alter our desires. Delighting in God thus refines our heart's desires in ways that can be made manifest and known as meaningful. Now, refined desires of the heart also reflect God's characteristics of compassion, mercy, and suffering. It is in Jesus Christ where we encounter God's desire to pass on the cup of death, suffering, and dehumanization. And yet it is also in Jesus Christ where we recognize the sacred will of the Holy being taken on and done all the way to the cross. Some of the desires of our heart run deeper, are heavier than the superficialities of a new kitchen or materialism or even just the ease of everyday life. Those desires anguish for the seemingly impossible, the bending in the arc of justice. They anguish for an expression of hope. While these desires are profound and true, they too have underpinnings of fear and self-reliance. I feel paralyzed and powerless at times. And I've heard these words from you as well. And this is when delight must take on demanding, focused intention and practice. Delight moves from an emotion or compelling motivation to pragmatic choices and attitudes. Apostle Paul speaks about how when we encounter friends, we're not to cause them to stumble in our interactions. So for instance, if you have a friend who is a recovering alcoholic, you don't go out for drinks. In a similar way, a hadith, a traditional saying of the Prophet Muhammad from the Muslim tradition says, be distant from the worldly. Don't get caught up in the world, but take on genuine spiritual practices that align you and root you in the love of the divine. Simply said, practice that which brings you close to love, and let the entanglements of the world, the news, the oratory, the sparring, the anxiety, the uncertainty fall off you. Shake it off as you find your way into deeper engagement with God and your neighbor. We have these practices as a part of our faith tradition, the practice of prayer. You can pray for the desires of your heart and the desires of others' hearts. You can pray for mercy, pray for wisdom. You can practice proximity with people who are different from you and those who are experiencing and know suffering. You can serve people in your realm of influence. Another practice is fasting for clarity of action. Study the Bible to know how the power of love can be made manifest in so many unique expressions, and delight in knowing God. Because as you delight in knowing God more, it changes you within, and that takes hold first before any change out in the world takes hold. It is this type of delighting, this robust delight, that is just as parallel to that delight of a new couple. And it is here that we recognize and consider that our desires of the heart matter at all. Yes, they're part of our makeup. Yes, we can consider them as sparks of the divine within us. But the psalmist in chapter 20 states that there is a greater reason for these desires. God fulfills our desires so we can fulfill our whole purpose. My whole purpose cannot be wrapped up in hardwood floors and spotless kitchens, right? These things might help me fulfill part of my purpose as a host, or creating a place of home and safety and stability, a launching pad for kids as they go out into the wild world of opportunities and challenges. My whole purpose is not about having kids who eat absolutely every bite on their plate, never make a mess, and only speak when addressed, right? Instead, my role as a mom finds purpose in molding and teaching the benefits of good food, of character of the heart, of deep knowing that they, these children, are as loved as any. It might be nice for all of us if our coworkers' whole purpose was to affirm our good work and do their job so we can get our job done, right? But the whole purpose for you and your coworker is to see beyond what each person does in the widget-making world to who each person is. In fulfilling this person, in seeing one another, you become a safe place of confession or sharing hardship. You become a place where teaching or mentoring to another happens. And so, kids, I asked you to draw the desires you had. And I was curious if any of you had any idea of how you might use the wants that you have, the desires that you have. Any ideas? Max, how would you use your phone? With games. Okay, that's good. Others, Julia, if you were a princess, what would you do as a princess? I love the picture. I see that you become friends with other people. Yeah, and hold hands. That's good. Using your princess position is important. All of us have desires on our hearts, and it makes me curious about how James might use his new scooter, right? This green scooter that goes in the water. Perhaps he'll walk his dog with it. Perhaps he'll just be a happy, healthy kid. Our desires, shaped by delighting in God, enable us to fulfill our whole purpose as God intended and relishes in. And such desires might well help us, help James, help Julia and Max live out who we are and who we are meant to be. So today I want you to consider, what are the desires of your heart? How will you delight in God, especially with robust delight? And how can your desires move you to fulfill your whole purpose? I pray that we may seek God in these questions with whimsy and assurance in the sacred meaning that God offers through his answers. May we know the desires of our heart and the ways that God makes them manifest and meaningful this day and evermore. Amen. Will you stand? beloved ones, as you go out into the world with the desires on your heart, may your hearts be open to the way that God will continue to refine and realign and make them illuminescent as you bring your true selves. For the world needs hope, the world needs love, and the world needs God's desires lived out through you as you fulfill your whole purpose as God intended. Go with God's grace and mercy this day and evermore. Amen.